Well, hello, hello. Come on in. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. A very warm welcome on a gorgeous spring day to Acupuncture Point.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right. Spend my life with you. Let me say it seems, baby, since we've been together, ooh, loving you forever is what I need. Let me be the one you come. Never be untrue. Oh, baby, let's stay together. Loving you weather, times are good or bad, happy or sad. Just came to see you'd never do that to me, would you, baby? It's being around you is all I see.
Oh, hello, hello, hello there, and welcome to today's show. My name is Kevin Durgin, and I'm delighted to be your host on this week's Acupuncture Point. Coming up on today's show, a lament, a frustrated lament. Do those sorts of things exist? But anyway, my lament of the day is why is acupuncture still being ignored? And you can imagine me waving my placard in the air as I'm saying that. We're also going to find out why older people are more generous. We are going to find out more about the psoas muscle, otherwise known as the muscle of the soul. And we're also going to discover how effective acupuncture treatment is for endometriosis. And to top that, the cherry on top is we are going to play another rip-roaring round of Game of Themes. What is this game, I hear you cry, possibly clutching at your pearls? Well, Game of Themes is a marvellous game. And if you'd like to join in the fun, all you need to do is to see if you are able to link together the common theme that joins all of the frankly fabulous music that I'm going to be playing for you across today's
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things. Make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, hello, hello, hello there. You are listening to Kevin Durgeon here on UK Health Radio. Thank you so much for supporting not only my show, Acupuncture Point, but also for being part of the UK Health Radio family. We are all here, all of the presenters on UK Health Radio are here because we believe in sharing positivity, health-related information, and also helping you, dear listener, to being the happiest and healthiest version of yourself that you possibly can be. We would love it if you'd connect with us on social media, just so that we can help to share the love even more. So there, I'm now going to dab away at my eye because I was extremely moved by that. Now, as you can imagine from the host of a show called Acupuncture Point, I am a little bit interested in the wonderful medicine of acupuncture. And indeed, I have been practicing now, can you believe it, for 20 years. How has this happened? Actually, no, I've been practicing for 17 years, but I started to train in acupuncture 17 years ago. Time has flown, as it often does when you're doing things that you love and you're doing things that are valuable. Now, I came across this article in a journal called Acupuncture Today, which really feeds into one of my big, big bugbears. Why, oh why, is acupuncture still being ignored? Oh, I really, really can't bear it. I really can't bear it. Basically, there was a very big, big, shiny and extremely bulletproof study which was published in the British Medical Journal, which is essentially a very, very grown-up, serious medical journal. And in this study, it mentioned that acupuncture isn't being incorporated into clinical practice and health policy, even though the research is there. And it makes a list of recommendations about what needs to happen. So basically, they looked into the very, very clever people who wrote this. They looked into over 2,500 really high-scale reviews of acupuncture therapies published over a 20-year period. So this is a huge, huge amount of work. And they demonstrated that acupuncture showed a moderate or large effect with a moderate or high certainty of evidence in 8 diseases or conditions. This included helping patients who'd had a stroke to communicate better, relief of neck and shoulder pain, relief of fibromyalgia related to pain, back pain, increased lactation success within 24 hours of delivery, reducing the severity of dementia symptoms, and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. But currently, only a few healthcare systems incorporate acupuncture into their clinical practice guidelines and national health coverages for these conditions. This makes me very, very cross, as you can imagine. I'm currently working with a brilliant colleague and we are trying to write an editorial for an integrated medicine journal. It's very tough. I've not done this sort of work for years, well, really since my degree, which was a science degree. And so basically we're looking into some of the reasons why this should be the case. Exhibit A. Over here in the UK, we have a body called NICE, which is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. And I was looking into the some of the reasons why they have put various conditions onto acupuncture. So basically, acupuncture is recommended for a few painful conditions. Lower back pain and migraine. But NICE also make the condition that it should only be carried out by somebody in a group setting or dry needling. Now, those of you who listen to my show on a regular basis, so that's otherwise known as my immediate family, you will know that dry needling ain't the same as acupuncture. In order to become a professional, a serious, a well-qualified acupuncturist, you need to have had at least 3 years of study, which includes Western medicine studies, anatomy, physiology, red flags, which is basically where you can see patients with severe conditions and you refer them on to see their GP or to see somebody else. Dry needlers, well, quite often they might have a day of training. So you can already see, why is it that our bodies, our healthcare bodies, should be basically saying, no, don't go to see somebody fully qualified. Go to see somebody with a couple of days of experience in this field. And the other bugbear that I have, sorry, I will now almost dismount from my soapbox. But another one of the issues is that for some reason, they confuse acupuncture with dry needling. So if you have a look at these guidelines, they actually say acupuncture or dry needling. Completely different things. Completely and utterly different things. Essentially, it's ignoring the fact that serious acupuncture has got a vast body of evidence behind it. But just because people don't understand it, they lump everything in in the same way. Which is, particularly if you're an acupuncturist, very, very frustrating, because we just want what is best for patients. But just because people don't get it. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox now. Essentially, what we need to do is what I'm trying to do with my show every single week, just to hopefully raise awareness of acupuncture, raise awareness of what real acupuncture can do, how it can absolutely transform the lives of people who have it. And if by listening to my show, you think, you know what, I'd like to give acupuncture a go, please, please, please do go and talk to your local MP and ask why proper acupuncture isn't more readily available. And also go and talk to your doctor, because it's only when doctors, hospitals, our MPs get to know about the fact that there is a demand for this sort of very gentle but very effective treatment, that is the way that we're going to make that change, as Michael Jackson would say at the end of his fine, fine song, Man in the Mirror. And on that note, off my soapbox I get.
It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight. Content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walk a step behind. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. Without a name for so long, a beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be, I can fly. You are the wind beneath.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for supporting our station and for giving us so many listeners. Over 1.2 million people tune in every single week. So to each and every one of you, a very big, non-socially distanced hug. How about that? So I wanted to tell you this story as it made me feel really, really joyful. And I thought I wanted to share this with you. Apparently, as we age, there is evidence to demonstrate that we become more generous as we get older. And very, very clever people at the Claremont Graduate University in California, they say that it is down to oxytocin, which is a hormone linked to empathy and generosity. And it's got the gorgeous nickname of the love hormone, because one of its functions of this hormone is to help couples and mothers and babies to bond together. Now, according to this this study, it appears this hormone appears to be released at higher levels in older people, and it makes them more generous when they're confronted with something that requires their sympathy or their compassion. Really, really lovely. So these researchers, I love how they do these studies, don't you? They showed 103 people between the ages of 18 and 99 a really sad video of a father talking to his two-year-old son who was dying. And really, really sad, sad video. These people were then asked to give an anonymous donation to the hospital. And those people aged 65 and over gave nearly three times as much as those people aged between 18 to 35. Now, if you're thinking, well, it's all very well for them because, you know, older people have got so much more money. Well, no, no, no. Put that away, because apparently these older people were found to have released more oxytocin into their blood as they watched the video. Isn't that interesting? I just thought that was such a beautiful, beautiful study. This study, it was published in the journal Frontiers in Behavioral Neuroscience. And it also found that those people who released more oxytocin, can you tell that I'm enjoying saying the word oxytocin, they also were found to volunteer more frequently in the past year, and they gave more of their income and a higher value of money to charity, and they were also more satisfied with their lives. Now, if you're thinking, I don't know what this has got to do with acupuncture point, Kevin, with acupuncture rather, well, sometimes when I see patients, particularly patients who are living with emotional difficulties, maybe an emotional disorder that they've lived with for some time, on occasion, I do recommend that they do something, anything, for somebody else. So, you know, that includes things like going and doing a bit of litter picking. Doing something for other people can help us to lift our spirits by releasing these hormones, but also it reminds us that however low we feel, we still have the capacity to do something. If we have the use of our arms, we can use those to pick up litter. If we don't, there is always something that we can do. And I think that that's a very important lesson for us to keep hold of, particularly when we are feeling a little bit down.
Take a look, huh, sucker. Take a look.
I reveal the answer to this week's game of themes, you're going to be absolutely wowed. Absolutely wowed, because I think I have played a bit of a blinder. Hello there, hello there. You are listening to Kevin Durgeon here on UK Health Radio. Thank you for listening to Acupuncture Point. Now, I wanted to talk to you about the muscle called the psoas muscle. And this is spelt P-S-O-A-S. So you can imagine I had quite a lot of fun online trying to figure out exactly how to pronounce this muscle. So the psoas, it's the deepest and most stabilizing muscle in the human body. And it affects our balance, our width of movement, our ability to move our joints, and also the functioning of our abdomen and the organs held within our abdomen. So this muscle, it connects our spine to our legs, and it's responsible for keeping us standing up and allowing us to lift our legs as we walk. So this is a pretty important muscle. A healthy psoas, so proud of myself being able to pronounce it correctly. A healthy psoas stabilizes the spine and it provides support through the trunk. And this forms a good space for our abdomen organs to be held safely and sturdily. So, interestingly, some recent studies consider the psoas as a perceptive organ. Yes, you heard me correctly. Recent studies have considered this muscle to be a perceptive organ which is composed of intelligent tissue that literally embodies our deepest desire to survive and thrive. So it's the primary messenger of our central nervous system, and so it's connected to our emotions. So the psoas, it's connected to our diaphragm through connective tissue, and it's affected by both breathing, and it also reflects when we're feeling scared. So if we are living our lives a little bit crazily, burning the candles at both ends sort of thing, this can strain the psoas muscle, and it can basically shrinks in order to protect us. And if we are living our lives in stress, over time it begins to shorten and it begins to harden. And this makes the organs of our abdomen start to basically function not very well, because they're just not held right anymore. If, on the other hand, our psoas is relaxed, all of these things all of these terrible symptoms can be reduced. So, for example, our legs and our pelvis, they can move with greater fluidity and independence when our psoas is relaxed. And also, it can have a much better, we can improve the function of our abdominal organs, our respiration, and our health. Well, this sort of makes sense, doesn't it? You know, whenever I have a massage, you know, a physical massage, I don't know about you, but I think pretty much all of us, don't we? We all feel so much more relaxed. Our mood becomes slightly elevated. We begin to breathe easier. Our sleeping is a lot better. So I think that this is just coming back to this article. It's really important that we look after this psoas muscle, because this muscle of the soul is of huge importance to our bodies. So let's keep our psoas muscles strong and flexible. Thus, our wonderful vital energy is going to be able to flow correctly through our spines, through our muscles, and through our joints. So as you're listening to this, let's just try to elevate our spine, lengthen this, and allow the vitality to flow. And again, coming back to acupuncture, I feel a little bit like that man from my big fat Greek wedding. You know, the father in it? When he'll always say, ask me any word, and I'll tell you it's going to link to ancient Greece. I feel a little bit like this when I'm talking to you now. Any word, and it'll have a connection to acupuncture. But it does, because I know that when I treat people, people's muscles, it has an impact on the way that they're feeling. Their emotions are connected to the physical way of being. Anyway, I hope that you enjoyed that, and I also hope that you'll enjoy looking up this muscle, PSOAS, and looking online to find out some wonderful exercises that you can do to help to strengthen and lengthen your glorious psoas.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A scrub is a guy. don't show love. Oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. Wanna get with me with no money?
Hello, hello. You're listening to Kevin Durgent here on UK Health Radio. In addition to being an acupuncture practitioner, which I love, you can find a little bit more information about me on my website, which is southlondonacupuncture.com. I am also author, or rather co-author, of the fabulous, fabulous recipe book, Delicious Mauritius, Tastes and Tales from My Mother's Kitchen. It's a culinary tour around the island where we get to meet some of the members of my family, some family friends, and also some fabulous, fabulous food from that lovely, lovely island. Anyway, let's come back to the last item on today's show. Acupuncture has been found to be effective for endometriosis relief. This recent study basically demonstrates that electroacupuncture is more successful than a powerful Western medical hormone for treating endometriosis. And this is really, really interesting. Really interesting. It wasn't a massive study. 72 patients who were diagnosed with endometriosis took part in the study, and they were randomly divided into two groups. One group had the acupuncture treatment, and the other group didn't have the acupuncture treatment. And the control group were given some conventional Western medication. There we go. I got it out eventually. And the people who, rather the women who received the treatment, they had acupuncture, electroacupuncture on several points which are located around the abdomen, particularly in the lower abdomen, on the legs and on the feet. And this electroacupuncture treatment was administered every 2 days for a total of 6 months, and the results were measured after 6 months of treatment, and the patients were followed up with a 1 year exam to basically see whether the endometriosis had recurred. Really interesting. Both treatment methods were provided significant improvements for patients, but the electroacupuncture treatment resulted in more significant patient outcomes, especially in diminishing recurrence rate in the year following treatment. So, essentially, the researchers on the back of this have concluded that electroacupuncture is an effective protocol for the treatment of endometriosis. Thank you. I don't know where the time has gone. It has absolutely, absolutely flown by. But it is now home time and the end of Acupuncture Point today. But not before I reveal this week's exceedingly cryptic game of themes. So in honour of this glorious springtime weather, well, of course, this week's theme was spring. How so, I hear you wail. How so, I hear you ululate. Okay, so we had Al Green in Chinese medicine. The colour green is associated with the season of spring. Well, just look around you. Everything's starting to turn green, isn't it? We're also going outside with George Michael. A lot more outside than in, now that the spring weather is a little bit more clement. We had Bette Midler singing about the wind beneath her wings. And that, of course, came from the film Birches. Did I get away with that? And you're probably thinking, Birches, what's that got to do with anything? Well, of course, in Chinese medicine, the season of spring is related to wood. There you go. We also had Naina Cherry Blossom singing about her buffalo stance. And no scrubs. Of course, we're all doing spring cleaning this glorious time of year. And how about this, our grand finale song, Springtime in Paris. And on that bombshell, please forgive me, please do stay tuned, because coming up next, we have Chi Time with the rather fabulous Clara Apollo. Looking forward to seeing you again next week. Lots of love to you. Goodbye.